You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 12. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you very much that we can do just this. So we're looking to you to deal with that. Take thy word, Spirit of God, based on the person and work of our Lord, thank you very much, so that we can understand the better, that we can capitalize, we can utilize, we can go and enjoy the privilege of reality. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. You remember in our study, as we've been looking at chapter 12, and the Greeks, chapter 12, verse 20, the Greeks or the Gentile slash Greeks would be full Greeks, Gentiles, came and they wanted to see Jesus, verse 21. Philip and Andrew preceded them to take them to Jesus, where he was. It was understood as the Passover, over 2.7 million plus, that's Josephus's estimate, people in this city, and persons everywhere. And the unquestioned subject at that time was our Lord's presence, and in particular because he had just risen, given Lazarus, and had him come back to life from the grave. And so that was very, very prominent. So the excitement is there personally, and they're looking. So here's the Lord in the city, and they come to him, and he doesn't answer as we shared, verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And thus he told them. He said, he didn't answer them. He said, "You can't enjoy who I am. You can't know me. You can only see me. You could talk to me. You could have a sandwich with me. But you can never have what I have. You can never be who I am. You can never enter into all the benefits. I tell you about them. I give you promises and words all the way from the Old Testament. But you can never have them apart from my death on the cross. If I don't go to the cross and die and be glorified, no one can have anything." It was based before the foundation of the earth, before anything was created, including angels, that I would die and pay the penalty for what the angels would do, no, for what humans would do because of angels, sin. And so I had to die. And you need to understand that, he said. And thus, verse 24, illustration number one. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, most assuredly, amen, amen," with great confirmation, "I say unto you, except a grain of wheat, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Wow. Now, I have to die. Do you understand? Everything that I am right now, I'm going to give up. I'm going to die on Calvary's cross. And when I die, I'm going to rise again. And I'm going to rise again with a whole different body, a whole different setting. Do you understand? If I don't die, you can never live. And I must die. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And everyone in Adam, as we share together, everyone in Adam died, has been born dead in trespasses and sin. And therefore, when I die for Adam, pay the price. I pay the price for everybody in Adam. That's all us humans. We shared all that together. and thought about it in some detail. Now, having said that, you can't have what I have unless I die. And then we share together in verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, etc. Now, I need to pick up, if I may, from Sunday school a little bit. You can't have God's wonderful, wonderful benefits, cannot be possessed, cannot have the wonderful privileges to be practiced. You can't have them unless you come to know the Lord as your Savior. Unless he die and make that possible, none of it is possible whatsoever. It is an utter impossibility. Now, we share together to remind you, you don't want to look at God's Word and your Bible. You want to, if most of us take it, people take it, I should say, intellectually, academically, like a bunch of information. And if you do that, you'll never get saved. Academic doesn't save anybody. Intellectual doesn't save anybody. You could quote the whole Bible, it won't save you. You have to go and assimilate it. When you eat food, as we shared, the food goes down into your tummy and you assimilate it. And right now, you're wearing it. You're wearing all the food you ate yesterday, aren't you? It's part of you. God's word is meant to be devoured, consumed. Do it that you might live, L-I-V-E, have life, L-I-F-E. Now, the second thing, you got to understand that. Truth is meant to be absorbed like food. And then we shared the other thing at 6 o'clock in Sunday school. Do you understand that you individually, person, live inside your body? You are person. Your body is not you. You live in your body. When you die, we examine the body to see if anyone's there. And if we can't detect anyone there, we pronounce them dead. Right now, you all have a unique oneness to your body. And as we shared, you do not, I bet you $100 that you don't realize that oneness in your body. You are absolutely one in a human, wonderful sense to your body. And that oneness is so real, you aren't even conscious of it. And you walk around and cut your toenails and stuff, and you do all those things. And you know what? You aren't disturbed at all that it will. When you get a cut, your oneness is not challenged or debated. You're still there, and your oneness is never in doubt that you're inside. Never questioned. It's a unique oneness. And the oneness, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, is greater and more permanent than that. And you have to absorb that. Otherwise, you're intellectually doing things and going nowhere. No, going nowhere. When you're all done. Wow. God, you meant something wonderful. That's why John 12, 23, 24. Unless I die, none of it can become real to you. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. They make you live. The words are pregnant with life. But you got to devour them. You got to give them good ground, Matthew 13, so that the seed can grow. Now, having said that, to remind you and myself, verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And now he's illustrating, he's helping the Greeks and the Jews that are there and anyone else and us here and now. He's helping us understand the whole procedure. He has to die on the cross. He died and took our place, and he died in our place, taking our place, perfect substitute, perfect Savior, perfect sacrifice. He did this. Now, and he that is loving, and we share together, that means that a personal, the word love in this case, this word love, warm, affection, warmth, friendship is the word that translate this, friendship, friends, warmth, and a personal awareness of your present state of existence. And if you love, and then we tried to say last week, just think of being hugged. You're hugging, I use the bulletin, I use it again. The world, he that loveth his life. I love my experience of eating and drinking, work, home, school, play, coming, going. I love being alive as opposed to being dead. I love it. I'm hugging it. I don't want to let it go. I cherish it. I love it. He that loveth his life shall lose it. The word lose, to perish, to utterly be destroyed. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, what? Perish. That's the word. Perish. You're going to lose it. Don't you understand? You're trying to keep it. You can't have it. You're going to lose it. And we went through that a little bit. Now, and having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, now remember, over to John chapter 11, in verse 25, what did he just say a little while earlier? Chapter 11, to Martha, verse 25, 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, spiritually dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, never, positively, never die, double negative, never. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? You'll never die. A wonderful, wonderful life. And then he raised Lazarus from the grave to demonstrate to the people an illustration. And so, here they are, and the Lord Jesus is saying to the Greeks, to the Jews, and everyone, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And if you're going to go and seek to cherish it, to hang on to it, to have all of it, as much as you can, as best you can, you don't want to let it go, you want to have it. So therefore, you have to go, and if you love it, you're going to lose it. On the other hand, if you hate this life in this world, then you're going to keep and guard it unto life eternal. All right? So now we got to, again, remind ourselves and put that together. Now, in the light of the realities belonging, the realities, I got to help remind me and you guys, us, so, of the realities belonging to time, all the realities of time, you're living in them. We are not conscious of them, usually, but we're living in the midst of them. We're conscious, we're breathing, perhaps. We're conscious of that reality. Uh-huh, we are. And we're conscious a little bit of life, physical life, and death. Death, we look in the cemetery, casket. Death, we look at death. We look at truth. And error, we understand a little bit, not anymore, because the system says there is no such thing as truth, unfortunately. And so truth and error, they're there, right and wrong, good and bad, those are all realities. We live in them. We live in the midst of them, like it or not. And in the middle of them, if we're hugging them, loving them, then we're living in it all, and we're caught up in it. We're caught up in all we just mumbled, loving and hating and good and bad and right and wrong. We're caught up in it, and we're going to lose it all. Now, and those are realities. They're really there. We don't like to think about them. but they are there governing our lives. So, therefore, this personal affection, attachment we have to our personal existence, as we have that, we understand that we want to go and not be loving it. We need, God said you can't love it. If you're loving this life, what? If you're loving this life, how are you going to go and put it on the cross? Huh? How are you going to go and reckon yourself dead? When I died, I took you to the cross. Would you tell me how you're going to understand that truth and join him on the cross as long as you're doing this? You won't let it go. You aren't going to do a thing. And that's the trouble. And if you don't lose your life, you can never have it. The wonderful, wonderful thing. In order to have life, you have to die. You have existence, but you don't have life. So, over, if you would, Romans chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. In Romans, remember what I just said, you have to hate your life. You don't want to love it. And then I'm going to go and try to remind me and you about what we're loving. What are we loving? What on earth are we hugging? What is it that we won't let go? What is it that's so precious about breathing the air and eating breakfast? Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who are having and holding the truth in an unrighteous way. They have the truth. They have the truth. But they don't want the truth. They don't want to know the truth. And they don't want it at all. Now, so the truth. All right, so we're looking at we want to get truth and error, right and wrong. Now slide down in the light of the wonderful context into verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So, the truth. We don't want to have and hold the truth. We're going to love our own life. We're going to love the world system in which we're in and all that it affords and gives us. And we're caught up in it. We're caught up in all of the modern electronic gear and everything. 100 years ago, you didn't have it. You got all kinds of stuff to get caught attracted. We're attracted to it. We get addicted to it. And then it controls us. I asked the bank. I'll ask you guys. If right now, the world that you're living, make believe it's Monday, and everything's busy, school and everything, and right now I'm able to go and shut down the power everywhere. Now I want you to imagine that nothing needing power works. How is the bank going to do? You're going to go in the bank? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go when the power's gone? Who has what to keep it going? Your little smartphone, whatever, nothing's there. And you tap it, nothing's there. What are you going to do when there's no smartphone? Under your pillow at night, and there's no texting, tweeting, or twittering, nothing. What are you going to do? If you don't think the world gets us, you're wrong. And when, one of the things to help you with the world, if I take it away from you, will you lose your joy? J-O-Y. If I take something away, Will it affect your comfortableness and rejoicing and being alive on planet Earth if I take it away? And then if you say, yes, it would hurt me, bother me, that's worldliness. That's what you're caught up in. Now, so God, here we are. So, over to chapter 7. Paul, you're going to help us some more. Chapter 7, verse 15. For that which I do, 7:15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. What I hate, there's your little word, hate. Hate your life. But I hate that I do. So I don't want to, I don't want to be, I've got a lousy old nature that acts up in all kinds of ways, word, thought, and deed. And I have the problem. My heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. I got a problem. So I'm living in this body, having to face good and evil, right and wrong, time and eternity, everything else. I'm living in it. And I can't make anything perfect, as we shared. I can't fix the flaws. I can't fix the failure. I can't do it. It isn't fixable in and of by myself. So verse 18, I discover what? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And God, I got a lousy old name. I don't want to think a bad thought, but I do. I don't want to say that, but I did. I don't want to do that, but I did. My old nature. I got that problem. Everyone has that problem. God's trying to help us understand. Do you understand what I've done for you? You are lost, dead, and trespasses in sin, in that which is unrecoverable. You cannot recover it. I'm trying to help you understand. I did something wonderful for you. I died. You had to die. You had to understand. If you didn't die, you're going to perish and lose it all. In the name of loving the world. In the name of being in the world. High-ranking, low-ranking, whatever you are. Pauper, prince, what difference does it make? New York penthouse or the poorhouse? Doesn't make any difference. Now, so God, I would. And then verse 24, of course. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I got a problem. Aha! God, you know that. But we need to know it. That's our problem. We need to understand that. So now, over if you would please, to the book of James. I'm just running by you basic things from you and me. Because that's our problem. If we ever get a hold of this, what you said in verse 25, it'll change my life. But I got to get a hold of it. Chapter 4 in James, picking up, if I may, sliding down in the light of time. Verse 4. James 4:4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship, there's the little word that you're looking at, love. Love this life. That's the little word, love this life, and there it is translated, friendship. Friendship, human. Of this world, that the friendship of this world, of the world system, is enmity, hostility, hatred, enemy, with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend, there's your word again, love, of the world, you're going to love the world, friend of the world, is an enemy of God. Well, that's pretty clear. So, God, if I'm going to hug the world, I'm going to be your enemy. And I don't want to be your enemy. I don't want to be your enemy. That's for sure. No question about it. I don't want to be. Over to 1 John, right nearby. I don't want to be your enemy. 1 John chapter 2, again. Verse 15. Love not the world system, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, what we see, the pride of life, just being and having and all of that, pride, but is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, like heaven and earth are going to pass away. Humans die, pass on, they don't pass away. Pass away. Heaven and earth is passed away, it's replaced. Humans pass on, they don't disappear. They just go from here to there. That's all. So you don't say, they passed on. Well, that's too bad, they passed on. That's rather awesome, they disappeared. No, they didn't. They pass on. So now, I know that you hear people say all kinds of things. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, verse 17. The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So God, we don't want to get caught up. We don't want to be an enemy. I don't want to lose Father. I don't want to lose you. I don't want to lose you. I don't want to be an enemy. I don't want to do that. And if I keep loving the world, I have to hate it. That's right. I have to hate it. Wow. That's what I have to do. The world is, in fact, you don't have to turn there. Well, you can. Why not? The Gospel of John, keep you awake. John chapter 15. John 15. This is also simple and obvious to a human. But it's the last thing. All of these things we're reading, we don't want to know them. We just don't want to know them. That's all. How are we going to enjoy our world if I know all those things? Wow. John 15, verse 19. If you were of the world system, the world would love his own. But because you are not an OT of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. There's your little word. Hate you. Say, hate you. Well, I don't want to be hated. I don't want to be hated. I want to be loved. I want to be loved. I want to love. I want to be loved. I want to love. I love life. I don't want to die. Do you understand? If you believe in me, I am the resurrection and the life. You will never, what? You'll never die. But you got to believe. You have to understand. I'm dying in your place. Now, over if you, and remember, you don't have to turn there. You remember we shared Lot's wife, and Lot and them were to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, and as they went out, Lot, and not to look back, and Lot's wife lingered, and the others, the children, and Lot went forward, and Lot's wife turned around, and she said, I don't want to be without you. And God accommodated her, and turned her into salt, and there she stood for centuries. For years, they used to go and look at her. See her standing there. Wow. Huh. Now, so God, here's Lot, and Demas, Timothy. And Paul, what did you say? Demas has forsaken me because of what? He loved this present world. The present world. We like the world. We like things. My marriage, my home, my coming and my going. And all of it's imperfect. All of it's temporary. All of it's terminal. And we love it. We love it. With all its complications. Think how easy it is for us to lose something. You know, we're humans. Now, and here we are. And here's Joel. I'll use Joel. It's all right, Joel. I mean, you don't care. Here's Joel. And Joel, I'm comfortable with you. And Joel turns his Bible upside down and throws it on the ground. And now he did something. Joel, what happened to my love and like of Joel? It just changed. How long did it take to change? What happens if he snarled and did this up here? How long would it take to change? You can change in 2 minutes, a minute. Your whole attitude, everything can change about people, persons, places. That's your makeup. It doesn't take anything to throw everything off base about persons, places, things. We get all over the place like nothing. 1 minute you like it, next minute you don't. You're with it, and then you're not with it. You're mad, and then you're sad. Wow. That's our human nature. And the trouble is we're loving it. We ought to hate it. We ought to hate it. Oh, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Over, if you would please. Oh, to the gospel, well, you're in the gospel of John. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And would you please note, God, you're going to say it to us again. And remember now the word, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And you have the word lose, verb. In verse 15, should not perish. Verse 16, should not perish. There's your little word just for reference. Now, slide down, if you would, to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why is that? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation. What is that? That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Verse 20. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. There's your little word hate. Hate, hate. You've got to hate your life. Hate it. You have to hate it. It's condemned. It's condemned. It's condemned. John doesn't want it. It's condemned. Judged. Already. You have to believe. You have to hate. Yes, you do. It's headed for death, isn't it? Everyone sitting here. We are headed for the grave. Whether you like it or not. That's not a very good destination. And you don't have to wait till you're 110 years old to die. You could die at 15 years old. That's not a very good outlook. I'm going to die. And people don't want to think about dying, do you? Who wants to think about dying? No one. They don't want to think about dying. Because we can't handle it. Then God says, understand, you've got to understand, I've done something wonderful for you. You'll never die. Do you understand? I've given you a wonderful relationship. Oneness, oneness, oneness. Now, over if you would, in your Bible. Oh, to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew. If I can, and in chapter... Well, a couple of places. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. May I pick up in thought? Chapter 10, verse 34. Think not, said our Lord, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I didn't come to make everybody happy. I came to save people who were dead in trespasses and sin, condemned, all bad, the whole thing. I came to save them. Whosoever, just think of Sunday school, alone, alone. God took Abraham, he had to be all alone. That's the only way you get saved. No one saved with you. No one saved around you. You are alone, alone. And you have to come alone and believe alone and you get saved alone. Not everyone's with you. So if you're looking for that, that's why one of the reasons doesn't happen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. So, no, you didn't come to make it nice. You came to save us from the system. And the people that love the system, and you stop loving it, they stop loving you. Because you don't want the system. We're going to go here. What don't you? I don't have any fun anymore in the bar room, in the happy hour. The happy hour. They still have happy hours. Happy hours. I don't know. Used to have happy hours. Used to sign happy hour, You know. I don't know how happy it was, but they went to happy hour. Wow. Oh God, here we are. And we're looking. And verse 37, he that loveth father, mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Aha! Why not? Why not? Why not? Well, because the relationships are all faulty, frail, fleshly. And you know what? Do you understand the condition, human condition, because of sin, is costing me my son to save you. Now, when you put father, mother, brother, sister ahead of me, you're making my death seem unnecessary and nothing. God said it cost me my son to die. And you put anyone ahead of me. Exodus 20, no other gods, no other idols, no other person. You understand, it's absolute necessity. It's an insult to God. You say, why, what's wrong? Nothing says you can't honor. Nothing says you don't care. Hang on, I've got to get there if I can quickly. I probably won't, but I'll try. Over. Hold your finger right here in Luke chapter 10. And go over with me Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. I want to take the same thing and just do it with our little verbs. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, and if I may, in verse 26 directly. If any man come to me and hate, there's your little word, hate not father, mother, and wife, children, brethren, and sisters, yea, and hate his own life, cannot be my disciple. You can't want this world and love this life because I've condemned it. It is totally unacceptable in my righteousness to receive it. It's condemned. It cost me my son to die to get that out of the way. Now, back over if you would. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew in chapter 6. And may I pick it up again? Chapter 6. Chapter 6 and in verse 24. No one, can serve two masters, two lords, for either he will hate, there's your word, either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, what you're trusting in. You can't do that. You're either going to trust me or you're not. You're either going to love the world and you're my enemy, and you'll never know my father, or you won't. I don't love the world. I understand. That's why you get saved quick. I understand the whole course, the whole venture of the rest of my days, hours, minutes, work, homeschool, play, be able to buy my own car, make believe, and have my own house, and have the freedom to go to Friendly's and have three hamburgers because of the pay raise and everything. Wow. 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 Huh. You can't serve two masters. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, since you can't, take no thought, anxiety, be it of divided mind, for your life. What shall you eat or what shall you drink? For yet, for your body, taking care of it, survival, success, what we shall put on. Is not life more than meat, food, and the body more than clothing? Isn't the whole thing, you are here. It isn't about your clothing. It isn't about the world. It isn't about your pleasures, your pain, your possessions, your possession, your power. It isn't about that. It's about you. And you're caught up in trying to replace the world, letting the world system replace God. And you can't do that. Over in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. In chapter 16, may I pick up, please? Oh, in verse 2. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather. Today, for the sky is red and lowering. And O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread, etc., etc. Now, in over if you would, verse 24. Sliding along, I don't want to, time-wise. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And, by the way, verse 26, what will it profit you if you gain the whole world system and lose his own soul, if he gain the whole world system and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you going to do, you dummy? You are trying to hang on to the world system, and you can't have it. You can't have it. How much did, 1 Timothy 6, 7, how much did you bring into the world? Try to think when you were a little baby. Nothing. Verse 7. And it is certain you'll take nothing out. And then all you do is look at the casket and you put it in the ground and the body becomes back to dust. What did you take out? Zero. The futility. Do you understand? The Lord is trying to help you understand. This. Do you understand what, unless you change, unless you understand that in order to have life, you have to die. I died your death so you could have life, eternal life. And if you don't understand that, then you're trying to hang on to something all the way to the grave. And all we're going to have is a tombstone that has your birth date on it and your death day on it and period your dust. Now, what kind of thing is that? And people are cherishing. I'm waiting to get this and get that. And we're hanging on. We're hugging it. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just we're caught up in it. And we lose. We lose. Over, if you would please, to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. May I pick up, please? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, may I pick it up very quickly, in verse 2. Vanity of vanity. Remember, Ecclesiastes is given in God's wonderful providence so that anyone, what we're looking at in the world, if you had everything in the whole world, if you had the whole world in your hands, what will it profit you? And Ecclesiastes is all about giving you every section of life, money and job and position and possessions. And when it's all done, what's the point? It's chapter 1, verse 2, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanities, all is fruitless, useless. Of what value? Verse 14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, vanity, useless, fruitless. No value. It's vexation of spirit. The word vexation means to chase the wind. Try chasing the wind for an exercise. Try chasing that. You say, well, that's futile. That's right. And that's what God is trying to say. Do you understand? The whole thing, apart from you getting saved, is zero. You have nothing. I'm trying to help you. You want something? I went to the cross and died to make sure you could have it. Over to Ecclesiastes, one other place where you're here. Over to Ecclesiastes. And chapter 12, verse 8. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Uh-huh. Wow. The conclusion then, verse 13, chapter 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God, so we're going to have to turn to you. That's correct. That's absolutely correct. You're going to have to come. And the sin, the sorrow, the suffering, the pain, the heartache, the headache, all of the stuff that's in the world and by the world, I want you to understand I died to set you free from that. You're going to be in it all around you, everywhere. And you know what? You know, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because you need to get beyond. I hope you got a little bit. Chapter 10. Remember now, you have to hate the world, and you can keep, preserve it, protect this life. I want to be able to live the rest of my life. He is not saying that you need to go and hide under the pillow and hope, wait till you die. On the contrary, you have to understand, God has done a wonderful thing. If you receive him as your Savior, God gives you a wonderful relationship to God, and he leaves you in the world, but not of it. And you don't have to hug anything. You don't have to go and cherish marriage and coming and going with husband and wife and work and home and school. We get all of it. We don't have to do that anymore. Because I'm not hanging on to it. You aren't hanging on to it. It's temporary and terminal and condemned. I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it. But I'm going to exercise, breathing, eating. Jeanette even brought me some oatmeal this morning at my desk. How privileged can you get? Wow. I enjoyed the oatmeal. She even put a banana in it. And I may even, don't want to count on it though, I might get something else. But I never know. You see. Wow. I like living. I enjoy life. And I can enjoy life. All these truths are real. And I'm free. I'm free. Jeanette doesn't have to be perfect. People don't have to be perfect. They aren't perfect. Nothing's perfect. Nothing is. So what? We're able to live. Why? Because you're able to have this life in the light of eternal life. If you believe I am the resurrection and the life, you'll never die. You have a unique relationship to me, so that now, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So here we are in our body, exercising all one's daily existence, and I'm able to do so, blessed, benefited. I don't have to worry about everything. God told me not to worry, fret, want. And I'm to enjoy life. I never could enjoy it when here, because everything was dependent on something, somehow, somewhere, work, homeschool, something has to work out to make this work, and someone has to say this, and someone has to do that, and I hope this person dies because I hate him. See? And you have all of this in your life. And you don't need it. God said, you dummy, isn't it right to say that? You stoop. You didn't understand. That's why I didn't answer the Greeks. I didn't answer the Jews. I said, unless you die, I die. And you have to understand, I'm dying in your place. So either you're going to realize and receive me as your Savior, or you're not. And if you don't, you're stuck. You have to hate your life in order to find it, to experience it. Otherwise, you lose it. And the grave. Think of 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Not anymore. Not anymore. Here, I got a problem. Without that, I'm free. The truth will what? Set you free. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you. Thank you for God, your word, we just touched it. Help us understand this awesome, wonderful truth. The reality and the realities, we're supposed to be able to live freely and wonderfully amidst them in the reality of life on earth and the reality of your wonderful presence. God and your saving grace. God, help us. We get so caught up in religion and church going and coming. And God, we don't want to be intellectual. We don't want to just say, well, I know that. No, God, I want it to possess me. I want to be able to have the benefits of all of the fruitfulness and the fullness and the freshness of your wonderful presence. God, Spirit of God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. I hope you got a little bit. Now, we're going to try to sing, if we can, a stanza or two in your little gold book. Number two. Let's stand again.